The word Emmanuel appears only four times in Scripture. One of those four is just an allusion to it, but twice specifically stated in Isaiah chapter 7 and 8, in Matthew chapter 1. And in both of those places, the word Emmanuel appears in the midst of circumstances that are less than ideal. They appear in circumstances that are, in fact, quite troubling and disconcerting. This isn't the appearance of an angel or the giving of a prophecy in the midst of idyllic realities. It's difficult circumstances. The first, of course, is King Ahaz in the midst of the time of the split kingdom of Israel and Judah, and Israel and Syria had joined forces and were trying to get Judah to join in the battle of Assyria, but Ahaz was considering possibly aligning with Assyria because he didn't trust the alliance between Syria and Israel. War was brooding. The very difficult circumstances of what it is that he was supposed to choose. Of course, he wanted a sign. And the word Emmanuel comes in the midst of that very sign. In the Gospel of Matthew, the circumstances are also quite difficult. Joseph is very much looking forward to marriage, a new life, a woman of his dreams. And lo and behold, something that wasn't supposed to happen. She was pregnant, and he knew it wasn't his fault. And so, being a righteous man, being a good man, he did not want to kind of go off and just expose her. He wanted to do it quietly, but he knew that someone else was going to be taking his place. And the angel of the Lord appears and again gives a sign, gives this appearance, this speech in the midst of a dream. And we don't know if this particular text was given in the midst of the dream or if it was Joseph's later reflection on what the angel had said, but his mind and his heart at whatever point were drawn to the seventh chapter of Isaiah. And it's that very thing that allowed him to wake up the next morning and to say, I'm going to go and do what I planned to do all along. I'm going to take Mary as my wife because I trust in the word of the Lord. And in the word of the Lord was this sign. He will be called Emmanuel. It's not his proper name because, of course, we know it was Jesus. The Lord saves. But Emmanuel, God with us. Literally in Greek, the with us God. And it's that very word that I think is so tremendously important for us to understand on this Christmas season, because so much we attach the sentimentality of the season, the joy of gathering of the season, that we almost at times want to manufacture the experience, the feelings of what may be going on in order that our hearts and our minds can be lifted up into a Christmassy disposition. And yet many that I talk to and pray with in this season are feeling anything but Christmassy. Life is hard at times. It takes turns that we did not expect. It has some circumstances that we'd rather not talk about at times. There is feelings that we think may never go away. And I think this Emmanuel word is the one thing that can really speak to this reality and this situation. That God is with us. The religion of the world for centuries has often been defined by the ability of humans to find meaning for themselves by looking after and searching for God in a way in which they can boast of it, they can look towards it, they can say, I found it, I have found the hidden God. And the feeling of not having God, the feeling of not being close to God, often accompanies this desire to say, I need to go out and find him or it. I need to go out and make sure that I can grab hold of who God is. There's a reason that the book, The Da Vinci Code, was so utterly attractive to people. It's a fun book. I actually enjoy it, reading it. The guy's a terrible historian, but that's beside the point. But what was attractive to so many people in this is the idea that God was some of the secret presence that could kind of be gone after and found. And that God apparently was so utterly pathetic that this God could be covered up by institutions, could be covered up by even the church, was kind of dwelling in the secret places. But lo and behold, the really smart, the really affluent, they founded these secret societies underground and began to hold these meetings, and they began to experience God in this way. And this silly thing called the church just had covered up this God for so many centuries that this God was being, I don't know, like a treasure being found once again. That's an utterly pathetic view of God, that somehow God could become dormant for 1,500 years until some secret is uplifted that can actually connect us to God once again through this religious experience. Humanity is attracted to this kind of religion all the time, that there's something that just can't be there. We have to figure out the secret. We have to experience some reality that shows us that God's with us now, or that actually we found God, that God is now uplifting us. We don't feel him anymore, so we have to go on a search for him, and it creeps into Christian theology all the time. Are you close to God? The saying says. Well, guess who moved? It was you. Are you close to God? Well, it's time for a plan of improvement to make sure that happens. You go out, you need to find where he is, because you know what? He's displeased. He's got his arms crossed. He's looking at you saying, man, you've just put me in a box. But if you want to go on a search and find me again, I'm open to the idea. This is not the God of the Bible or the God of the Christmas story whatsoever. Because this kind of God apparently is only the kind of God that can be found by the smart, by the motivated, by the wealthy. God that can only be found by those who've unlocked the secret. But the God of the Bible is one who, in a fancy term, they called the incarnation, became flesh and dwelt among us. We talk about the scandal of the cross all the time. Is it so strange that Christians would believe that God would die? But the ancients were just as easily tripped up by the very fact that we believe that God became flesh. It's an absurdity. How can that which is immutable, immovable, God only wise, how could this all-wise, all-powerful God stoop to the reality of being born as a human being? The incarnation was one of the most troubling things, one of the biggest stumbling blocks for those of Greek and Roman religion, because God can't become that. It would corrupt him. It would make him something other than God. And yet, this very Christmas story is this, that God, in becoming human flesh, became God with us. Not just rooting for us up in heaven, not just hoping we make good choices, but the God who is still right here by our sides. Emmanuel. Those of our own theological tradition took this very, very seriously, that God is not someone that we find. God is not someone that we unveil. God is not something that we kind of grab for ourselves. But God in the midst of our own darkness, shines a light in. God, in the midst of our own imprisonment, comes and stands next to us. God, in the midst of our own fears and frustrations, enters into our reality to walk with us, to redeem us, and to give us hope for the road ahead, hope for the future. But we tend to want to go after a God of our own making. We tend to want to try to conjure within us an experience of God that allows us to say, look at me. Look what I've found. Look how religious I am. And the sign that was given to Ahaz and the sign that was given to Joseph was that the giving of Christ would be one in which you can say, it's God with us. And there's actually greater freedom in living in light of that truth by understanding we bring nothing to the table, but knowing that because he's with us, because he's right here in our midst, we don't have to spend the time trying to uncover him. He's unveiled himself to us. We don't have to kind of find the secret wisdom, but he's given his word to us first. We don't have to kind of shine a light on him, as it were. His light has already shone in our darkness. And it gives us the freedom to not have to worry about trying to find him or trying to experience him in a way that is putting pressure on ourselves to make sure are we close enough, but just to say, this I believe, and there will be times when my emotions or my experiences just don't match that, but because I believe that he is God made flesh, because I believe that he has in fact come to save me, regardless of how I feel, I can say without a fact that he is with me. God with us. We have had some marvelous saints go to be with the Lord this past year. And in those moments in which I sat with them, with the devastating effects of cancer on their bodies, there was no kind of emotional experience of God there. It was just hard. It was just absorbing the reality of what was. There was, in their hearts, in their minds, no kind of great feeling of joy, but there was this very deep, tangible sense that God is there. They would say this to me, I don't get this, but God is here. And for many of you, you may be in an experience right now where it just does not make sense. And you may be in a particularly dry period of your life. You may be in a difficult period of your life. You may not understand why the circumstances you're facing have come to be. But your job is not to try to go and to find some secret thing is that's going to unlock the wisdom of what God may be doing right now. He may not make that clear. But the one thing you need to know is that if you believe that God has been made flesh and dwelt among us for you, you can, however you feel, say with confidence, God is with me. And it is only in believing that, that you can, like Joseph, wake up in the morning and go and do that which you know you're called to do. Go and do that which God has placed upon your life to do, however hard it may be, to wake up and to face the circumstances with renewed vigor, only with this one truth, that Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. God with us. Friends, that is so freeing. And there's no secret about it. There's no unlocking of the mystery. It's there for everybody to see and to read. It's not for particular people. It's for each and every one who would but put their faith in him. this Christmas season. Let us reflect on that by which Jesus is known. But most importantly, he is God with us. May we live now in light of that. Let's pray.